Welcome all of you to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I've got Ole Domegaard on the line, Max Egan, and Zen Gardner. And we're going to have a very interesting discussion today. And I'm going to let these gentlemen kind of introduce themselves and introduce this project that they're bringing together. Ole, do you want to start out?
Yeah, I would love to. My name is Ole Damegård. My website is lightonconspiracies.com, and I've devoted some 30 years of my life looking into the major assassinations globally, false flag terrorism, and other stuff like that. I've lately been joined with these beautiful souls that are here tonight, and I would like to pass on the microphone to my friend Max.
My name's Max Egan. I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com, and I'm just here in Spain sort of to help coordinate this project, try to put it together, get it off the ground and sort of birth it. And it's really interesting the way it's all come together, and I just sort of ended up here with Ole and Zen, which was totally out of left field, but everything just kind of fell into place. So pretty exciting times. Absolute honor to be here with these gentlemen, and nice to be asked onto the show.
I'm Zen Gardner from zengardner.com, and similarly, I'm really honored to be with my dear brothers and other people who've gathered together to unofficially, I guess I'd say, launch what has been called the Full Circle Project. The tentative website is fullcircleproject.net, which is an effort to help take information to a new level of awareness in a broader circle of people via a very simple method of activation locally. And a very important part of this is to build connectivity with people on a local level and put people in touch with each other. And there's going to be some wonderful, well, there already are some wonderful tools that people can use to find each other that are even now available on the site. And this will be continued to be rolled out. But it's with that same heart of wanting to bring this awakening of humanity to new levels and empower people with very practical methods to bring coherence to their communities, connectivity, and methods of actualizing what is the obvious need before us to help confront, in many ways, the onslaught on humanity, which is, as most people know, quite dire, as our food, air, and water are being contaminated and governments are clamping down. We need to take the initiative and take the offensive. So that's been the heart and soul of this, the idea behind this project.
Zen, where are you from?
I'm originally an American, but I live in Uruguay, in South America.
So you recently came to Spain as well?
Yes, Max and I attended a conference recently called the Alternative View 6 in the center of England, that brought together 10 speakers addressing many of these issues. But the difference in the event was that it was aimed towards activation, towards practical methods of taking action locally around the world. And after that, we've been discussing this for many months together around the world. And we had been hoping to meet here in Spain. And so right after the event, we came here, and Ole lives here, and Luis lives here. You'll be hearing from Luis a little bit. And Miguel came down from Sweden. But there are many other people involved as well, but this is sort of a birthing time of sorts. And we had about 30 attendees for a two-day workshop to sort of apply some of our new ideas. And so this has been quite an inspiring weekend.
So what do you mean by taking action locally?
Yeah, I'll pass you over to Max here.
Okay.
Well, you know, really, when we look at all of the problems that we're facing on the planet, ultimately, if you look at them, they've all got a common cause. The problem when dealing with the situation is our fractured approach to trying to deal with it, and our we're always trying to put band-aids on symptoms. We're not really addressing things from the root core of the problem. So the gist of the Full Circle Project is to be able to connect people up, as Zen said, connect people up in their local communities, be able to form groups of discussion where you can sort of talk about all these things and shift the focus back to empowering the people and directing the arrow where it needs to be directed, and actually providing a common focus for all of these groups that are fractured and are simply addressing the symptoms without looking at the common cause of the problem. So what we're going to do, the website, like it's still in its skeleton stages at the moment. We've got a thing there called the Community Connector where you can sort of link people up and connect with people. But what we're going to do is provide a website that it'll have kind of an explanation at the start, and there'll be a forum there where you can post your what action you've got going and get advice from people. We'll have a chat applet there, a chat room, so we can get live advice, you know, real time online. And we'll have a resource center so you can connect with other people. And we'll also have an online panel where we come on and answer questions and keep people on the right track, you know, with what they're doing. But what we're trying to do with this ultimately is connect people up, connect all the groups up together, connect all the individuals up together. Everybody wants to make a difference and unite them in a common focal point. Because the problem is we haven't had a coherent focal point for this whole alternative movement in trying to deal with this political dilemma that we're facing. And ultimately, it is a political dilemma. I mean, whatever's behind it, government is the barrier that is between us and them, and we need to regain control of government. So what we're trying to do here is work out very, very simple methods of approaching the issue with a direct focal point and get all the groups to focus on this one point, which is ultimately the abuse of office of governments. And we've got a very, very simple method for doing this. So we want to share this with people and just get everybody sort of looking at the head of the snake rather than hacking at the branches. And, you know, we've got to get people hacking at the root of the problem rather than the branches and unite people with a common cause and a common focus. So that's what we're trying to do with the Full Circle Project. And it's actually been really inspiring and really good to see the response we've got from people. And even having my brothers here willing to support this, and everyone can see the potential of this. And people that I've spoken to who are hardcore cynics who simply can't see a way out have been hearing this concept when it's been presented to them in a concise enough manner and going, well, hang on, this could actually work. And it's a kind of approach that's directed at the man on the street, speaking at him in a language that he can understand using a system that he's familiar with, and trying to sort of spark this seed of awakening in them, you know, because it's just very empowering for people to realize that they can make a difference, and we're trying to help them see that and get them united and get them motivated to do so. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Max, I think I've heard you talk about fracking before.
You certainly have.
Yeah, we have fracking in my area here in the United States, not too far away, and I've interviewed some people locally about fracking, and one of the amazing things that I learned when I was researching fracking in general is just the incredible amount of fresh water that's polluted. I think it's somewhere around 8 million gallons per well that they pollute of fresh water. Is that correct?
Well, it's about that. It depends on the size of the well and the size of the operation. But I actually approached this in Australia. There was one well in Australia, and as far as I know, it's the only well that's been stopped so far. But I took a different approach to what people were suggesting. Again, rather than trying to put a Band-Aid on the symptom and attack the corporation or whatever, I got the people who are protesting at the well to write a letter. And what we did was we basically wrote a letter to the government saying, look, is it not true that Australia is a spring-fed nation? Is it not true that water is essential for life? And therefore, the security of this nation depends on groundwater. So therefore, any threat to groundwater must be seen as a threat to national security because it's a threat to the security of the nation. So therefore, we require you, the government, to provide us with the results of the studies you have done which show conclusively that this practice does not damage groundwater. And if you can't provide us with the results of those studies or you haven't done those studies, then you need to show cause why you should not be held in abusive office and we should not express a loss of confidence in your government's ability to govern and not only have you dismissed but also held accountable for this attack against our national security in the form of this attack against our groundwater. And they closed that well in a week.
Are you kidding? That's amazing.
Well, they told us it was all for all sorts of different reasons. It was for social reasons, community reasons, all the sorts of stuff, all the avenues they'd gone down. But when you use the approach of, okay, looking at this logically, water is essential for the security of the nation because we the people are the nation. Therefore, any threat to groundwater must be seen as a threat to national security. When that threat is coming from government, then the government is in abuse of office. And abuse of office is the most serious charge you can bring against a politician. It is not a term that is open for debate. It's not a term that is open for interpretation. It's simply abuse of office. So we're simply asking the question for you to please show us the results of these studies or other, if you can't do that, then to show cause, which is another legal term, why you should not be held for this attack you are obviously perpetrating against our groundwater. And they freaked when they got this letter. And we sent it to every politician in the state, and they closed that well within a week. So you can apply this sort of an approach to everything. For example, here in Spain, we've got a massive situation with the homeless people. There's a massive amount of evictions, something like 44,000 evictions since 2009 here in Spain. These people need to approach the government and say, is it not true that these evictions are causing a humanitarian crisis here in Spain, according to your own figures, see attached sheet. Then you would say, is it not true that this humanitarian crisis is a direct result of the legislation that's been put in place by government, see attached sheet of the legislation. Therefore, is it not true that this humanitarian crisis is a direct result of legislation? So can you please show cause why the minister who enacted this legislation and those ministers who supported it should not be held in abusive office for this humanitarian crisis that their legislation has created. So by saying that in abuse of office, it isn't the government that you're pointing the finger at, it's the person who is abusing the office that they hold. So you're pointing at the individual and you're asking for accountability. You're doing it in a polite manner by simply asking a question. You've created a problem here, which is a humanitarian crisis. Please explain and show us why you should not be held accountable for this attack against our nation, which is what it is. And if there's legislation that's been put in place which prevents you from being held accountable for this, well, we'd like to know who wrote that, because that itself is an abuse of office. If government is putting in place legislation which prevents the people from holding them accountable, then how can this be seen as a responsible government that's serving its people? It's all abuse of office, this whole thing. And if you look at every social problem we have, it all leads back to this point. And if people start directing their approach from this method and this new meme gets into the minds of the people that this is really what we're looking at, the whole system's going to change very quickly. Because they really have no defense from this sort of stuff if you ask them these type of questions. And I've proved this with the Gaswell victory in Australia.
That's really good news. And the one thing we've noticed here in my state and in other states here in the United States is that there seems to be a lot of earthquakes that follow this whole fracking thing. Have you found that as well?
Well, they had that in England, in Blackpool. That's why they haven't managed to get the welds through in England, because they started to do one or two and they had all these seismic activity happen in Northern England, and they don't get seismic activity in Northern England. But England's actually very unstable shale foundations and stuff. It's a very unstable geology below England. So if they do frack England, they're really, really going to mess it up. So that's the only place I know of it. Though we have had a couple of light earthquakes in Australia recently. I don't know whether that's from the fracking or not. I couldn't really confirm that. So
I'm sure
it's happened in England.
We've had thousands of earthquakes in both Ohio, where I live, as well as in Oklahoma, that seem to be related to this fracking. It's incredible.
That news is actually reaching the mainstream. You probably noticed that the evidence of the fracking causing earthquakes, especially with this amazing swarms that are happening in Oklahoma and Texas, it's starting to come to the surface. And this has everything to do with the groundswell of people speaking up, which is something that is a lot to be encouraged about, but it's something that really needs to be encouraged, that people realize that they have the power, not just through yelling, you know, and speaking up and via information sharing, which is very important, but now they can find out via this type of vehicle, they actually have a method of approach, how to approach their local government, but also their entire paradigm of how they perceive authority starts to shift. They realize those people are there to serve us. That they are less than us. We the people are supposedly have elected these people to take, you know, to charge of certain mechanisms, and they've abused them. And when people realize they are the authority, not the so-called authorities, there's a major shift in perception. And this really unleashes a lot of power. But what really needs to be done is a mechanism needs to be put in place where they have a practical approach, they can connect, whether their cause is fracking, organic farming. As you know, in the United States, the rainwater collection now, they're trying to make illegal.
Yeah.
They're moving on so many fronts. But people need to realize that they're the authority and the others practically an illusion. And once you hold them accountable in a very specific methodology, it really freaks them out. And they go on their heels, we take the offensive, and the tide turns.
Ole, how does this work in with all the research you've done on assassinations?
Good question. I don't have a good answer. The only thing I know is that I feel honored to be, I would say we've all three been like warriors of truth, standing up for what we believe is right and just, and in the name of love, compassion, and to for the beauty of the future that we're supposed to have and that our children is entitled to. And here we are, where there's a very, very super criminal element that has hijacked society, and nowadays on a global scale. And most people, or at least up until now, a lot of people are not even aware of what's going on. They just see the symptoms that life is getting more and more difficult, and finances are this, and so more, many wars, and so-called terrorism is going up and up, and everything is going towards bad. When if these so-called powers stop messing everything up, it would go to a beautiful future. And the reason why I've focused on assassination and so on is just that for some reason, this is something that has been my interest. And also I've had friends murdered, and I feel very strongly that this is absolutely not something you can tolerate. So I focus on my little part, which is street level assassinations, murders, terror acts, and so on, because these have been the tools that this so-called power group have used to force their way through. And it's just not on. And here we are with these beautiful gentlemen here, and Luis, which is an incredible woman who's kept us together here, because we're all very busy. But here is suddenly a way that we can join together. I've been very afraid of joining, or very cautious of joining groups or organizations. I have never done that. I've never been into politics. I've never been into anything of that. Because what I've seen happen in these groups is that you start inner conflicts and the ego start inflating, and then suddenly you're sort of fighting within with each other instead of towards a common point, you know. But with this, I would say absolutely, I would say it's a revolutionary idea, the way it's put out there. It is without leaders, it is without somebody showing the way, it is a tool that will make the ordinary man and woman in the street suddenly have a possibility of regaining their human rights and their powers, and just get the whole thing a way to get so down the road, off road. And just like Dorothy in The Wizard, we need to knock the shoes together and get back to Oklahoma in balance, you know, the way it's supposed to be.
Are the people that killed JFK the people that are really in charge of the world right now?
I can say this much, that the people that took him out are part of the group. I don't know the absolute top of the power pyramid, but these people that took over there, in my opinion, the 22nd of November, 63, that was a major step forward, a massive step down backwards for us. It was a coup d'etat in slow motion, not in slow motion, it was a coup d'etat, and the power that took over that day have stayed in power. It's just a different front face, just because the name has been Johnson or Carter or Reagan or now Obama or Bush, doesn't matter. It's just the same very, very brutal, brutal death machine that has taken over, and it's just forcing its way forward. And so I focus on these assassinations to show the connections and to prove that it's actually the same people behind them. And thus show that instead of us living in a totally crazy world where it's just filled with mad and crazy Muslim terrorists that are all they want is blow us up, and that the wars is just something that is natural, I would like very much to show that these things are connected, and to a very, very small group. I tell you, they are in the thousands, we are in the billions. So we should not even have to have programs like this. You know, it really is a joke when you think of it, because their balance, it's just incredible. So we should just breathe in and in love and compassion, keep the focus so we don't go down a violent road, that because if we do that, we mess this whole thing up. It will just continue. You will exchange people and we'll just go down this horrible road. We need to transcend this whole thing, keep the focus on inner balance, love, non-violence, total fearlessness, and just approach these things as a spear and just go for it. You know, join up together, side by side, brothers, sisters, black, white, yellow, blue, I do not care, Jewish, Muslims, Christians, non-believers, Native Indians, everyone, we're in the same boat, all of us. So this is a beautiful time, a scary time, but a beautiful time. This is the time, and I would say 2015 is the year. It's all gonna happen, but it's up to us.
I'll throw this out to Oli, but whoever wants to answer can answer. Do you think that other countries' governments are as bad and corrupt as the U.S. government?
I would love to answer that.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. Oh. I'm very sorry to say that. I am very sorry to say that. But if you look, you need to study like secret networks where groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Committee of 300, and these hidden networks are part of this shadow world government that is just dragging us down this very dark hole. So unfortunately, since they have been working very, very hard on centralizing the power to fewer and fewer, we are now at a point where you will see very strong ties behind the curtains in the dark corridors of power that shows very strong connections.
I think they're trying to start a civil war here in the U.S.
They're trying to start wars everywhere.
Their whole methodology is conflict and divide and conquer. Anything that'll bring that to the fore and create confusion and chaos obviously works in their favor. Most people know these principles, people who've awakened, which is a rapidly expanding community. But what one of our primary focuses is to take it outside of the already aware community to people who are just starting to pick up the dire situation we're in and the realities that they're facing, and help them to see a bigger picture and give them tools to approach practically their particular situation, whatever their cause. It could be fracking, It could be GMO food. I mean, these different vectors are coming at us so fast and almost surreal in people's minds, so they start to feel powerless, but essentially they're not. So when they see other people catching fire, other people getting inspired, other people getting together, especially in small groups, community efforts where people actually know each other, not just online connections, but get together locally, this is going to have a tremendous dynamic effect on this next phase that has to take place. We're up against the wall right now, and we need to admit that. The toxification of our environment is extremely severe. Just the geoengineering aspect is enough to bring the planet down if this continues the way it is. The whole hydrological system is broken. The oceans are screwed up. Then you have Fukushima and issues like that. They're all converging. So if we can't respond as a living human race to this challenge with everything in us, then we're not worth saving. We're condemning ourselves by accepting what they're doing. And it's time to rise up, say, no, actually, I don't agree with this. Well, then take it to the next level. Do something. I don't know what to do. Connect. Find other people. Find practical avenues. But by talking together, communicating, it just changes the dynamic just marvelously. And that's really where we want to take it. To the wider circles of influence, reaching people who are lost in the darkness, feeling alone, feeling disempowered. Here's some tools for you. Go for it.
Have you guys studied Jade Helm at all?
It's a little bit right there in your face, isn't it?
It sure is. I'd love to hear some of you guys comment on Jade Helm.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
I'll start since the mic's aiming at me right now. Well, anyway, there's so many factors. I mean, it can be anything from a giant psyop to get everybody just freaked out and test the reaction. You know how they run things up the flagpole to see what everybody's going to do, to getting things in place. There's the obvious thing that the meme that's hitting the most screens right now is this, you know, preparation for martial law. Or is it a practice? Are they going to confiscate everybody's guns? I mean, anybody who's done any research in these areas, there's so many potential convergences going on. But I would really recommend people look at this very rationally and kind of look where it's going. There seems to be something aiming towards the middle of September. I'm sure you've heard about that
right.
There's a convergence going on. Jade Helm ends. You got the blood moon, you got the Pope coming to the UN to bless this new program that's going to make Agenda 21 look like baby food. They've got big things in the works, and there's very much occult influences, and they're trying to do their magic spells. Personally, I think it's time this stuff blew up in their face. I don't see their powers having the same effect. And I don't mean to get super esoteric, but I think they're speak that our very presence, plus there's this awakening that's happening. There's literally a cosmic change going on. So people are experiencing things they've never experienced before. So Jade Helm, we almost have to look at it like a play that they're putting on, and look at it dispassionately so we can understand what's going on. But it's clearly, you know, it's clearly an affront and trying to push Americans' buttons to get them to react the way they want. So people should be very aware of that and not respond the way they want.
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the whole thing, but it's basically going to be this giant military exercise that I think is supposed to take place in July, but they've already started to move troops, and they've moved armored vehicles and into various locations, and it's going to be this giant military exercise within the continental United States, particularly in the Southwest. And I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like this before.
Well, especially when they say the enemy states are Texas and Utah.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes.
You know, they're declaring enemy states and doing it in front of people's faces. Are you kidding me? Like, it's surreal to watch. And they expect, and they're going around doing PR, these I'm sure you've seen this, giving town hall speeches, saying, you know, this is what we're doing. They're kind of getting people's permission. And local people are going, what the heck is this stuff? It makes no sense at all. And other people say, well, we've been doing military operations on U.S. soil for years. Well, that's enough to wake you up. But the degree of it, and you're right, I've seen these videos and pictures of massive amounts of troop movements and buildup of artillery and vehicles all along the corridors from California to Texas. But yet again, you have to stand back from it and see it for what it is. These kind of things that have been moving around in our faces, and we can't fall for the ploy. You know, they're trying to precipitate a crisis on their terms, so people have to ask, you know, react consciously and see what's going on. But clearly, it's over the top. But that's what they do. It's all conditioning. It's getting people used to military in the street, used to the cop that beats up people on the street, used to being fined $400 for feeding the homeless. And can you believe some of the news stories these days? It's outrageous. It's off. It's over the top. What it's doing is either people are going more comatose, they just shut down because there's too much hitting them, and they start feeling, you know, there's nothing I can do. Honey, pass the beer, turn on the TV.
Right.
You know, I just want to be happy, versus other people feeling like I want to do something, but they don't know what to do. Well, that's like the compressed chamber in a car engine. You know, it's loaded with vapors. All it needs is a spark, you know, and we're not by no means the only ones with this compulsion. People around the world are expressing the same thing. We need to mobilize. We need to move forward. And with this stage of awareness, our political activism doesn't have according to the old days, is not the way to go. It needs to be much more directed, much more intelligent, much more specific, and much more local. And that's a dynamic that has amazing potential.
Are you familiar with Veterans Today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The whole scandal that's taken place there when Dr. Jim Fetzer started talking about Jade Helm and writing articles, and next thing we know, about 6 people in Veterans Today are fired. And it's just, I mean, I thought they were going to be the tip of the spear for the alternative movement. And boy, once someone started talking about Jade Helm, boom, things changed pretty quick. Go ahead, comment on that, please, somebody.
No, I've been published several times on Veterans Today. I'm a personal friend with Jim Fetzer, Stu Webb, Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower, and so on. And they were an absolute shock. I had a long, long talk with Fetzer just the other day, and they were in absolute shock of how Gordon Duff totally turned around, and he started deleting Jim Fetzer. I think, I don't know how many hundreds of articles and everything that was just deleted, and they were fired. I mean, I don't even think they're paid, but they were fired anyway.
Right.
But what happened is that Stu Webb, Chip Tatum, Fetzer, I as well, have started on a different road where there's going to be radio. It's already started, radio and TV broadcast. So it's sort of split up into a new road. But this is so difficult when you get into these things, conspiracies and powers that are trying to hijack society and so on. When you start groups, or you start something that looks very promising and that is gaining power and force, they get infiltrated. These groups get infiltrated because, the people we are up against, they see, whoops, let's infiltrate them or undermine here, backstab a bit there. That's the way they work. And one of the things I love about this Full Circle project is that it's aimed at not building big groups, because they're so easy to infiltrate, but small units of 5 people. I tell you, the Gladio network has incredible power, and they've shown it because they've been invisible. We haven't even been aware of it from years and years and years, but it's built up by small units of 6 to 8 people, with all the power in that little group, and then they're connected with another little group, and then they're connected with another little group. And here, We are aiming at groups of five that will then connect with other people, groups of five, another five, other five, other five, other five, other five, and so on. So it would be extremely difficult to infiltrate such a network. I mean, absolutely incredible. Plus, if you're in a small group of mostly people that you know and that you respect and maybe you grew up together or you love and care for, then if somebody starts acting really strange, it would be so obvious. So it's a beautiful mechanism that is about to be seen by the world, I think.
I've heard, I think it was Stu Webb that said Gordon Duff's real name is something like Bob Foot or some Footy or something. I don't. Isn't it true? I mean,
Bob Foot.
He doesn't even use his real name, right?
I don't know. I don't know Gordon at all. I've never really listened to anything he's done, but it feels very odd. It's almost like a, without any accusations, but his actions seems like a double agent. You know, that suddenly he just turned, and it was the Jade Helm that just made the whole thing explode.
Has Max paid any attention to Jade Helm at all?
I have. It's been interesting. The interesting thing I see about it is that, like all the dominant, there's all sorts of stuff going on with the financial system, the fact that it's a Shemitah year. I mean, it's all very, very interesting. It may just be an exercise, but it's interesting that all the dominoes seem to be in place. There's a possibility of a financial event in September if China does what it wants to do. And Jade Helm could kind of take up the slack for that. But, I mean, it's a possibility. There's all sorts of possibilities. But, I mean, I'm not really in fear of it. I think that there's, it's like Zen said, there's something taking place. There's something energetic taking place. I mean, I don't want to sound esoteric about all of this, but there's a new feeling in the air. I think that, like, even with what we're doing with Full Circle Project, the concept that the way we brought it to people, it kind of it ignites this spark of empowerment in them. It just changes their perspective. It's something that can reach the man on the street without them having to look at conspiracy theories or any of this sort of stuff and empower them. And I think once it takes off, it's going to ignite things like a wildfire, like a grass fire. I really do. And I think that even if there is some sort of a financial event, I think we're going to be able to rise above it all. I really do. I actually think this is one of the greatest times in history. I think it's one of the greatest opportunities for freedom we've ever had, because the powers that be are stumbling. You know, we've locked them back. We've knocked them back so far. They're not even where they thought they were going to be in 2003. Here it is, 2015. They still haven't. Yeah. So, I mean, they're so far behind track now, and they know that the financial rope out the carpet's been pulled out from under them. They can't maintain this facade for much longer, and so they're trying to lock things down really quickly, and they're stumbling, they're making heaps of mistakes, and they're waking up everybody in the process. People are becoming aware that there's something terribly wrong. They just don't know what to do about it. So what we want to do is provide a focal point, because we know what to do about it, we know what the problem is, and if we can direct our attention there in the right manner, we can awaken people very, very quickly. Because, you know, and even with putting this project together, if we're facing all these opportunities, never before has the political climate been so ripe for this type of information. You know, you've got situations in Spain, situations in France, in Greece, in America, in Australia, in Britain. It's happening everywhere. Ireland, everywhere is going, just their heads are spinning, going, what the hell is going on? And if you can provide a focus to these people in a language they can understand and direct the attention where it's needed, I believe we can circumvent all this very, very quickly and very easily. And I have absolute faith in the human race to be able to do this. I really do.
What is going to be this focal point?
Well, the focal point is the abuse of office of our governments. It's putting people's perspective, changing their perspective of what their relationship with government is, what their relationship with themselves is, what they are, you know, and realizing that we don't have to go down all of these rabbit holes that have been provided for us. We've got to go to the root cause of the problem. The way I did with that letter with the fracking company, rather than addressing the fact that, okay, this is creating pollution, it's creating this, it's creating that, and trying to petition the company and vote politicians out, look at what created the problem, which was legislation. legislation that was put in place by someone to begin with, which allowed this abuse. This is an abuse of office. You know, this legislation allowed this attack against our water table to happen. And when you look at it logically and see what it is, like I said, it's a threat to life. It's a threat to national security, all of this stuff. You just pointed out, ask the obvious and ask a question. Please explain why you shouldn't be held accountable for this mess. And the way that well got stopped, and by using terms that are not open for negotiation and putting this concept in the minds of people that every problem you're facing in your society comes from legislation that's been put in place by public trustees who are actually employed to manage your country in a responsible manner, and they're not doing so. They're in abuse of their own office, they're in abuse of their own legislation, their own legal system. And if we can rally the people to look at it from this focal point, and it starts coming from all different directions, like Zen said, that the GMO guys, the farmers, the people addressing the homeless situation, all of these different things are a result of legislation. All of them are creating a humanitarian crisis. Now, if we can look at it with humanity at the top of the pyramid again, look at it from this perspective and put this in the minds of the people, we can create a groundswell very quickly, I think. And we've had some amazing results with just talking about this with people, you know, everyday common people on the street, and it shifted their perspective. And then suddenly they see that they actually can make a difference, especially if they can get this mind into the, or this idea into the minds of their friends and the people around them in their community. You know, if everyone takes this approach and suddenly they've got all of these needles being pricking them from all these different directions, and we're not going for the symptom, we're actually going for the cause of it, and they're going to be going, hang on, they're actually coming for us now and asking us to explain the mess we've created. This is going to awaken a lot of people. I really believe it will.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this Trans-Pacific Partnership, but where the senators, they can't even read this new document. Have you guys heard of this?
Certainly have. It's affecting us very much in Australia. They've got it happening in Europe as well with TTIP. It's the TTIP.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, yeah.
And who knows? I mean, if it's so, it must be blatant. It must be really bad.
Well, it really comes down to how long will people stand for this? You know, it's like the boiling frog syndrome.
Right.
People are just going to sit there and say, well, I realize I'm a boiling frog, but I'll get out when it really gets hot. Well, the trouble is, if you sit in front of the TV and you're watching a movie and you fall asleep, you're not going to remember when you fell asleep. It just comes over you. And it's very much like that. People are going to go, I'll wait for the flames to come a little higher, then I'll get out of here or do something. We're way past that point. I mean, we're so far down the road, the flames are raging up the kettle, and people are still in this justification mechanism. It's a hypnotic trance. So there really needs to almost be the 2x4 treatment, you know, to help people snap out of this thing. But in a way, it's being provided for us by these powers that shouldn't be. They're dropping all these, you know, ecological, societal, military bombs on us right, left, and center. And people are just standing there going, gosh, gee, what's happening? You know, well, the bottom line is this the world you want your child or your grandchild to grow up in? Are people going to sit still and let the world get raped and their kids walk into some transhumanist future? Are people that cowardly? You know, people need to be challenged. They're being challenged, but maybe it needs to be articulated and proven as other people get to active. And there's these beautiful women in England that got together on something called the Incredible Edibles. Five ladies sat around a lunch table and decided they wanted to plant free vegetables all around town. It became a phenomenon, and they did it very intelligently. They worked with local grocers, the local authorities. Now there's corn growing in the station. There's vegetables all over, just signs saying don't harvest until they're ripe. It's all free. And now it's in 170 cities around the world. That's just one idea that took off. How? And they're going to be featured on our website, people like this. But that kind of empowerment can start anywhere, but it can connect. All these different things can connect. But when people see that actually I can do something, they're going to start coming out of this comatose state, because we're really up against something very serious. As you know, there's mind control techniques. We're bombarded with electromagnetic radiation and all kinds of strange stuff in our devices. We're being tracked. We're being traced. We're being chipped. I mean, how long will people take it? Are they that cowardly? I mean, it's not. It's survival. And if we have to, you know, if we have to kind of make that laid bare in order to get, you know, people off their butt, fine, maybe that'll be part of it. But when people see and solutions, man, their hearts just take off. You know, it's like it says, without a vision, the people perish. It's like that now. People need to see there's a vision beyond all this, and there are techniques to get there.
Can you elaborate more on the transhumanist agenda in case there are some people that are going to listen to this that don't know what we're talking about?
Okay, as you've been watching in the news, from drones to you know, the planned RFID chip, the erasal of currency into digital currency, this is a giant control mechanism. But worse than that is to actually move mankind into a more, the idea of the overall controlling system is to have a race that is happy with their servitude. They want people who are happy to be slaves. This is, you can read this in their documentation for centuries. This is what they're looking for. And what, now that they've got these technological advances, they're starting to put things that they're disguising it as medical devices, and but they're moving into the human body to actually make it more controllable. We're seeing it in societal structures, but technologically, these are major advances. You know, obvious symptoms are, you know, drones, impersonal drones dropping bombs on innocent people, and nobody's held accountable. Now they're moving into AI, artificial intelligence, which will actually control the drones. Another step removed from somebody being accountable. Excuse me. It's but it's removing humanity's humanity. This is also happening via genetic modification. Chemtrails are full of nanoparticles that are invading our DNA. We are being accosted with a massive array of humanizing attacks, and if we can't respond, we might as, you know, people should just go ahead and dig their hole, because this is our chance, and we're pretty much up against the wall. That we're all being called to come out. Each one of us needs to take their stand, activate, and do everything they can. Get informed. Get the information. Be convinced for yourself. Don't take anybody else's word for it. But it's time to step out. And it doesn't mean just, you know, pulling out, you know, buying prepper food and getting your gun and putting up bigger bars. It's a whole lot more than that. It's taking the offensive. And if we don't do it, well, again, think about your kids and your grandkids, because they got nothing to grow up into.
How many cities have this program where people are just planting vegetables? How many cities did you say?
Last I heard, it was 170 cities around the world, but that was a couple, 2 or 3 months ago. I'm sure it's taken off even more. I live in Uruguay, and I met somebody at the local organic market, and she's been following their plan in Montevideo, the capital there. And it was just like so synchronistic, and I was like, wow, it's like it's moving. But it's already tapping into people's already innate desire to express their individuality, their sovereignty, their freedom. Food freedom is one of the greatest freedoms you can have. And that's, look how it's raised by massive industrial farming. Economies have been destroyed over it. And it's all, you know, people are, if you look at it, you know about Agenda 21, people are being herded into cities. The big land masses are being taken over by the government. This agenda is in black and white, written down in the UN Charter. Anybody can read it. And then you've got the North American Union coming down the tracks, all this forced migration. It's happening, and people are seeing it, but they're standing on their heels. It's time they leaned forward, took a step, and these things we're up against, they're really just cardboard. They really are.
You know what's good about that?
Can I just say that I think one major miscalculation, the elite few, as they call themselves, they think that, okay, I've got 30,000 soldiers here, I've got 200 tanks there, but all of these people in uniform are human beings with families, with children, with sons and brothers and daughters and parents and all of these that are also awakening and are waking up to the fact more and more. At least I'm aiming at a lot of effort trying to get to the hearts of soldiers, police officers, SWAT teams, also gang members and these type of things, to get to them and see whose agenda they're serving. They thought that they signed up, you know, for freedom and democracy, let's go liberate countries, come home with medals. And instead, they find themselves in a situation where they're being trained and to little death weapons, you know, where they go to countries where it's a matter of rape and plunder in the name of greed, not even their own greed. But these so-called elite few, I call them the minority or the lightless, their greed, and with a mindset behind the whole that is so mad that it's just like, I mean, sometimes I just feel like I'm getting a brain meltdown when I look upon what they're capable of, because there's no humanity behind it. So really, I would like to ask, how much evidence is needed, for God's sake, people? I mean, really, wakey, wakey time. How much do you need? I mean, we say, oh my God, they're out of control. They're only out of control because of us. We are letting them get away with this. And when Henry Kissinger calls us like useless eaters and that should give you sort of like a hint of what type of way they look upon us. They have no respect for us because deserving it. Because we have been totally brain dead and asleep for such a long time. Mm-hmm. It is wakey, wakey time. It really is. And I just want to say, on the high point now, when we're coming into the positive area here of life, that since I spent so many years tracking down assassins and exposing false flag operations and so on, I started thinking in the beginning, some many years ago, I thought that I was in a violent world full of terrorism and terrorists and so on. I tell you, I don't even know if there is such a thing as a real terrorist anymore, because every single time I dig really deep in this, it's their inside jobs financed by the same elite few to create absolute mayhem. They even got a beautiful name for it, the strategy of tension, how to inflict fear on society so that we will welcome their very brutal and merciless surveillance state with martial law and robocops, the whole shebang. But one of the things that I found out lately is that, for one thing, so many of these so-called mass shootings on terror act, they're total false flag operations, staged events for that are being pumped out through media. Many of them are things that doesn't even happen in real life. It's like a film set, filmed, and then pumped out through media to create fear. But what I've been able to start seeing, and I'm really trying to come to a point where I can prove it, is that I think what we're watching, what we're seeing, is like the Rocky Horror Show on a global tour. A small group of extras, background extras, actors, same people in the so-called SWAT teams with military advisors. You got directors, you got marketing agencies to do the slogans, the logos, all of these things. And they're being transported from country to country in NATO planes or American planes to NATO bases or American Air Force bases, flown in, carrying out acts of terror, so-called acts of terror, with the same agenda. So that we're seeing this, I would very much strongly suggest, we're seeing the same people in Paris, as in Copenhagen, as in Sydney, as in Toronto, as in Ottawa, and so on, and so on, and so on. I asked Chip Tatum, who's I don't know if you know about Chip Tatum. I must say, he's a personal friend. He's a CIA whistleblower. He was a deep cover agent for 25 years. He was a black op assassin. He was a Night Stalker pilot, you know, these black helicopters. He was one of the pilots in Iran-Contra scandal. scandal, flying weapons out and drugs into creating this whole mayhem together with Bush and Clinton. And he was also the commander of the Ultra Secret Hit Team Pegasus, which was a team of Ultra Secret assassins under the direct order and control of George Bush Sr. Okay, he has done and been part of several false flag operations in his career as well. I asked him, or I suggested this thing, is this possible, what I said, with this, that we're seeing one group going on an international tour? He said it's not only possible, it's plausible. And this comes from somebody who's been in it. He also said that they have staff meetings doing these things before these operations, seeing to what kind of things that it, what is it we're trying to accomplish. And then they carry these things out, blowing people up. And while it's happening, they have a follow-up staff meetings in nice office buildings to see, did we get the required effect? If not, we'll just do a follow-up. And so very cold business type of, with no feeling for the victims or anything. But he said every single time we can mess these things up by exposing their methods, really knocks their timeline out. And he said every single time one of these operations go wrong, it can mess it up for months and months in the future, because that so many follow-up events are based on the effects. So I say, I'm doing everything I can to expose these false flags going out big time all over the place, exposing what's going on. And I say, let's mess it up for them. You know, non-violent, totally fearless exposure. The truth will set us free. And but it takes, you need to get your butt in gear, wake up, smell the coffee, reach out, join hands with your friends and neighbors around, and get some balls and move forward. If you don't think you are valuable enough, think of your children, think of the people around you, and do something.
Ole, did you want to keep this to an hour?
1 hour would be fine.
Okay, we can certainly do this again on a regular basis, yeah, if you guys would like. Ole, why don't you? Yes, go ahead.
No, it's not only the three of us that is in this sort of inner circle, but we got some more beautiful people here. We got Mikael from Sweden.
So, my name is Mikael.
Hello, Mikael.
Hello. Nice to be on.
I'm glad to have you.
Thanks. I flew here from Sweden to participate in the Full Circle project. And in Sweden, I've been running an alternative news station, vaken.se, which I've been running for a long time, focusing on the action on the street, going out and informing people. And recently, I also created an international project that's uniteawake.com. And I'm very, very interested into strategies. So I came here to Full Circle because I was invited by Max to present some of the strategies that I've been looking at. And really, what caught my attention is, why is all this unification of truthers, why isn't it working? What's happening? Everyone is talking about, or a lot of people are talking about doing something. We're going to create peace. We're going to unite. But if I look at this, they all seem to fail because they're not uniting. They're always fighting each other. There's nothing really going on. So I try to look at the cause of this. What's happening? And what I understand is that as soon as you get the attention and want to do something, you start a little group, a core group, and then you can actually do a lot of things. But as soon as the group grows larger, when you get more people involved, suddenly it starts failing. And the reason for this, according to my research, is that when you get more than an intimate group, you will instantly start creating these natural leaders. And this is usually the strong male characters. So instead of having a small intimate meeting where you share and you respect each other, in a larger group, there's one or two or three persons who are stepping up, and all the rest of the people goes into the following mood. It's like the group mentality sets in, and instead of being intelligent participants, they become followers of one of the leaders, and suddenly you just split everything up and nothing works, and it's just internal fighting and all of this. So I envision to create a structure where we can work together, everyone, and everyone can be engaged. And what I came up with is this idea of using only the core groups. We're forming groups of five. And this is because you need to have a group to work with. You need to have a companions that can support you. Many people don't want to go alone, and so you want to support. So this is so good. You only need to start out by meeting four people or three in your neighborhood, where people that you know, and you form a group. And in this group, you just find, you look for the most important thing. What is the important problem that you face together? What is the cause of this problem? What do you want to create, and then make up and get it going? Start doing it. Do it together. And with this kind of intimacy, you create friendship. And this is really what we need. People are afraid. People don't dare to step out of line. They're so used to following some kind of authority. But when you go together in a small group like this, it feels empowerment. You feel empowered, and you feel strong, and you feel happy. And you just long to go out together and do this. And the beauty of this is also that all this circle, they can join together, and you join it together like a fractal, where each circle can come together in larger circle, where you take five circles and you choose one speaker for each circle, and you join them in an inner circle. And this way, all the circles can communicate, and it will be a really, really strong way of organizing, where there's no leaders. They're only temporary exchange of information and ideas. And this, I think, is one of the key things for this. And this is going to make it a grass fire. It's just going to go everywhere. So this is my contribution. And I'm really happy to be invited to share this with everyone.
I think that's a really good idea. What's going to be the goal of the smaller groups?
Well, each group need to find their own goal. This is really key, because you can't really follow any other you want to create, and then a step-by-step plan what you can do in your group. And this can be different depending on what problem you have. But when you look at the cause of every problem, you can see it somewhere is legislation, it's somewhere is this law, this person in office that are creating the problem. So I say this, the solution is to work with the people in government, that you know that they're held accountable by us, by just writing letters and follow this template that we're bringing together. And this will be something that everybody can use in their own groups.
And what is the name of that website again?
Uniteawake.com.
That's excellent. And do we need to, is there a contact button on that website or an email that someone we can get in touch with?
Yeah, sure. You'll find everything.
Okay.
Thing you need there, so just go ahead.
Excellent. Is there anyone else that wants to come on?
Yay. Yes, sir. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
This is Louise. Hi.
Hi, Louise. How are you?
I'm very, very well and just a little bit tired. But tired in a good way because we've all been putting in an enormous amount of effort, energy, life, and love into everything we've been doing, but it ended in amazing couple of days down here in Spain with quite an international crowd of people and some wonderful national local people from our local town who have really felt drawn to the methods that we're offering here because it gives them power, it gives them direction, it gives them vision, and it gives them their sense of dignity back, which is being drained fast. And if anything, I don't have a lot to say. I'm someone who's doing rather than speaking because I think there's very much a sense of everything's been said, and it's been said so eloquently and so well and so clearly by men, good men with good hearts, big hearts, and I'm so privileged to sit here with four of them around me now. And so many people have stood up and gone ahead and looked into areas that for many people would be too scary or too difficult or too confrontational. And it's now time to stand up with them. And that's everyone that has a calling to stand up for life. And this moment really is now. I have to say from the bottom of my heart, please listen to the call that's inside your heart. Wake up. This is amazing time. Get out of the pot. You can step out of that pot. Stop sitting in that cauldron on the fire. Get out of the pot because there's so much wonderful magic outside of the pot. This doesn't happen in that cauldron. The magic happens outside. So I invite you to step up, step out of your trance, and get busy. And this is a way of getting busy in a way which is effective. It brings humanity back in on full force, and that's what's needed. And I call on everyone, and especially as I appear to be the one female representative here at the moment, I know there are so many, many, many out there who are doing what they can. But really, this is one more possibility to step into your power and do what needs to be done with the support of good men behind us. So please, mothers, women, grandmothers, everywhere, come with us on this one. The time is now.
Did you come to Spain from England?
I think so. But not over the last couple of days. I've lived here for some time, so I feel really quite closely connected to the land and its people. It's not by birth, but it's simply by being here as a woman, by being here as a human. And I think the same could be said for anyone, everywhere. And that's why it's a unique call that will ring in the hearts of everyone. So it doesn't really matter where you are or who you are.
And what kind of things are you personally doing? Are you involved in planting these vegetables or something like that?
I haven't got time at the moment to plant many vegetables.
Okay.
I certainly plant some because it's very gratifying to eat food, obviously, that you've grown yourself rather than buying something false in a supermarket. But the main thing I'm focusing everything on, and I have to say, I've abandoned people even that are dear to me in order to do this because I just know that this is something that we can change if we're willing to surrender ideas and concepts, and if we're willing to stop getting caught up in so much illusion, even the intrigue that's built up for us to cause so much confusion and loss of connection. And it's time to let go of that and see the truth for what it is. And it's right in front of us now, thanks to so many people who've shown us over and over again. They're pointing out the problem, and now we have a solution. We know we can see the cause, and we have a solution to the problem. So hurry up and let's heal what needs to be healed.
Did you want to tell people about a website or a radio show or anything like that?
No, I don't have a website. I don't have a radio show. I'm a person on the ground, like anyone else. I'm keeping the circle spinning, and I'm keeping the circle spacious for everything new to fall into its right place. That's me.
Excellent.
Louise is actually the coordinator for the Full Circle Project. I've been communicating with her for a year or a bit over that now, and she's answering a lot of emails for me, and she actually owns the space in Spain where we all came to meet. So she's kind of been hosting this whole event and the birthing of this concept. And she's a wonderful woman. She's been an enormous help to me, and she's been greatly supportive of all of us here. So it's great to have her on.
Max, did you want to mention your website or your radio show or your books or anything like that?
Well, a lot of people are probably familiar with it. Everything you need to know about me is on my website, thecrowhouse.com. I've got a radio show called Surviving the Matrix. I'm having a month or so off at the moment because I'm on the road, but that'll be back on the air soon. I've done 6 films. I've written a book. So there's hundreds and hundreds of hours of radio archives on the website. There's over 1,000 pages on the Crow House website. So it's a great resource for people. It's a good archive. It's all free. thecrowhouse.com. Go and check it out. I'm sure you'll find some stuff of interest there.
Did Zen want to tell people about his radio show or his website?
My website, zengardener.com, began about 8 years ago. And mainly I'm a writer, and the website's kind of built around that, and I share information that I consider to be important to bring to people's attention, open people's minds and hearts. But my life has been dedicated to networking, connecting with other people, empowering those that come across my path, bringing enlightening and empowering information. I do a lot of radio interviews, and
good.
It's I guess it's ultimately, and that'll continue to morph. But if anybody wants to read my particular writings, if they go to my website, there's an icon, looks like a clock. You can click on it. It's the timeline of my writings. They can get an idea.
Excellent. Oli, did you want to close out the show with telling people about your website and radio shows, books, anything else?
My website is lightonconspiracies.com. Just like these other two gentlemen, I've done hundreds of interviews there. Mostly there, some. I just want to reach out as well, saying that none of us are rich. We're so willing to do whatever we can to go out there and make a difference. But it's like sitting in a car with not a lot of fuel. And if anybody wants to support us in what we're trying to accomplish for all of us, please, there are donation buttons on all of these websites. Support us with ideas or comments and so on. But let's make this happen. This is the time.
Excellent, Oli. It's been my pleasure to speak with all of you. Luis, Mikhail, Max, Zen, Oli. I think you guys are doing a great service, and I hope to hear from you guys very soon. Everyone, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good evening.